This is the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. And these are the announcements. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening. Tomorrow the Mass is at 8:30, followed by the cleaning of the chapel and the hall. Please remember to keep your voices low before Mass, during confessions, and after Mass during confessions, and for the blessings at the communion rail. Please keep the two reserved pews on the gospel side in the back of the chapel free for parents with small children. We have some lost and found items, cooking containers and dishes that are in the black cabinet and white closet in the classroom. Please pick them up after Mass today. And we want to thank everyone who assisted in mowing and trimming the landscape yesterday and on Friday. So we have the blessing of articles. Wow. We have a full congregation today. Everyone's back. So we have blessing of articles after Mass. We do not have benediction. We have the 8:30 Mass tomorrow with the cleaning. Please to remember to keep voices down, especially with the confessions now before and after Mass. The two rows in the back there are for the parents with small children. And please pick up your cooking items and everything in the classroom. And thanks again for everyone who helped with the landscape. The feast for this week, today is the feast of St. Bonaventure. So, of course, we understand any of these saints are worthy of sermons, so we can't do that. But we do like to just throw little things out to remind us. St. Bonaventure, who was a cardinal and bishop of the church, when they brought the news to him that he was to be made a cardinal, he had to say, oh, please wait one moment. It wasn't becoming for him to meet the emissaries from the Pope, because he was at the sink washing the dishes. And of course, we know when he heard St. Thomas Aquinas reading out the texts for the proposed Feast of Corpus Christi, St. Bonaventure, who had been assigned to also come up with texts, as he heard St. Thomas reading his, he just tore his up. St. Bonaventure tore his up. We mentioned that on Corpus Christi. But here's another little anecdote between these two saints. One was a Dominican, St. Thomas. One was a Franciscan, St. Bonaventure. St. Bonaventure got his name from the founder of the Franciscan, St. Francis, who, when he met him as a little boy, said, he will be one of mine, and he is going to be one of a great future, a great blessings to him, Bonaventure. His real name is John, but he got the name Bonaventure from the saint when he was just a little boy. But so they were visiting, they were at the same monastery at one time, and St. Thomas, who was visiting, was walking by. He wanted to go to ask St. Bonaventure a question. And when he got there, he could see St. Bonaventure in ecstasy. He was writing the life of St. Francis of Assisi. And he saw him in ecstasy, and so St. Thomas left, saying, I don't want to interrupt one saint writing about another. Tomorrow is the feast of St. Henry, Emperor. Tuesday is the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And we just want to stress to everybody, if you're not wearing a scapular right now, you are not heeding the advice of your Heavenly Mother. This feast on Tuesday, the great patronal feast of the Carmelites, is also the day that the Blessed Mother gave the scapular to us through St. Simon Stock, with the promise that those who wear her habit, it's the small version of what the Carmelites wear as their scapular, that's what it's called. I'm looking over at St. Teresa, the little flower, if you can make it out in the statue, that piece of cloth that's hanging in front of the rest of her habit, that's called a scapular. We have the small version. Theirs is the one that goes front and back. We just have a small version. But the Blessed Mother said, you who wear this, I will see that you do not suffer in the loss of your soul. That's all I can say. That's words of the wise. Wednesday is the feast of St. Alexis. Thursday is the feast of St. Camillus de Lellis, who is one of the pioneers of nursing. Friday is the feast of St. Vincent de Paul, the great saint of charity. And Saturday is the feast of St. Jerome Emiliani. Now, these are saints that are not on the universal calendar, but it's July 17th is their day. These are the Carmelite martyrs of Compiègne, France, who were martyred during the French Revolution. So there's a whole story to that, you can imagine. But when they were put up on trial, the whole convent was executed, all the sisters. When they were put up on trial, the real reasons for why they were being put to death were coming out. And the accusers said, you're holding on to this ancient belief that this foolishness and superstition. And one of the sisters spoke up immediately and turned to her fellow sisters and said, that's it. They're killing us for the faith. All the subterfuge is out of the way. Now we know what they're really after. They're trying to take away Christ from the world. And as they went, it's a great, tremendous story. It tells the story of each of the different sisters and the different personalities. It's a great thing to read. Someone wrote a Song at the Scaffold. There's a famous novel based on this. And it tells about them. But the people were so moved to watch this. And one of the, I don't know if it was the prioress, I think it was, but someone prophesied that with our deaths, this reign of terror will come to an end. And they were the last ones guillotined. The next ones that started to go up to the block were the ones that started the reign of terror. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Peter's first epistle. Beloved, be all like-minded in prayer, compassionate, lovers of the brethren, merciful, reserved, humble, not rendering evil for evil or abuse for abuse, but contrariwise blessing. For unto this were you called, that you might inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek after peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the just, and his ears unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you suffer anything for justice's sake, blessed are you. So have no fear of their fear, and do not be troubled, but hallow the Lord Christ in your hearts. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, unless your justice exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the ancients, thou shalt not kill, and that whoever shall kill shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be liable to judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be liable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, thou fool, shall be liable to the fire of Gehenna. Therefore, if thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and thou rememberest that thy brother has anything against thee, leave thy gift before the altar, and go first to be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Thus far, the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Just a request to please remember one of our people who is fighting that final battle and needs our prayers to help her get to heaven. We are now well into this season of Pentecost. And as we talked about it at the beginning of the season, it comes now as the Holy Ghost has descended on us and through the apostles, the Blessed Mother, on the Feast of Pentecost to give us grace, holiness, to lead us to heaven. So at the end of this liturgical year, that is what? We are passing from this world into heaven. This is a review. And so first, Holy Mother of the Church reminds us of all of the great things that have been given to us. And we first see, of course, the great doctrine of the Blessed Trinity. We see the Holy Eucharist, the Sacred Heart, the precious blood. Then last week, the Church is now saying, and here is the means that God has given us to get to heaven through the Church. It's all in the Church and through St. Peter, who's the Vicar of Christ, and we heard that. Now, here we are, the fifth Sunday. All of these things now are in the background. We've gone through this to remember how we're prepared. And now Holy Mother of the Church says, let us start looking in detail of how we do this. And so Holy Mother of the Church takes us back to our Lord's great Sermon on the Mount. This is from chapter 5, St. Matthew. And this is verses 20. Our gospel today starts verse 20, but the first 20 verses are the description of our Lord as he starts the sermon. And if you heard, if you recall from the past talks, how our Lord first gives us the elevation, gives us in this constitution of the spiritual life, what are the goals? This is the pedagogy of our Lord, to tell us from the top down what we're looking for, what are the goals that are intended. Then he begins to get down to the details. It's the same way he taught us how to pray in the Our Father. He starts the Our Father who art in heaven. It's the same principle. He's doing the same thing in his teaching and his praying, which we know from our liturgical understanding that is the way we know through prayer. The law of prayer is the law of belief. So he starts in heaven. Our Father art in heaven. And then, lead us not into temptation. So here we are. Holy Mother of the Church is taking us back to our Lord's teaching. And now she is saying, we have remembered everything that we are equipped with as we begin this process of sanctification. Now let's go to our Lord, the feet of our Lord, and hear what he has to say. And so here we hear this gospel. And he's telling us, after he gives us the Constitution, what does he do? In fact, because what are the first commandments of the Decalogue? There are 10 commandments, as you know, and you know, if you ever noticed it, of course, in any kind of depiction of art, you know, you see Moses. I'm sure you've noticed it, maybe you've already heard it, that there are two tablets, it's split, there are three commandments on one side and seven on the other. Well, anyone that likes symmetry, you immediately would think, well, why isn't it five and five? Well, that's because the three on one side are all dealing with God, and the other seven deal with neighbor. That's why it's divided that way. So you see now, I'm pointing this out, because when our Lord now begins to teach how to put these things into practice, first thing he says, do not be like the guides that you have now, the scribes and Pharisees. Do not be like them. You have heard what has been written in the law, thou shalt not kill. And he says, but I tell you this. So you see what he's doing. He's telling, this is what God has told you through Moses. And he says, but I say this, he is asserting that he is God. He is going to give the full revelation, the new covenant. Do not be like these external observers, like the scribes and Pharisees. Do not be like, we're going to be converted from the inside. We're not going to be Pharisees. And to impress us with the importance of this first thing he's going to talk about, he says that this comes ahead of your worship of me. Did you hear that? He said, if you come to the altar to worship and you have something against your brother, put down your gift. Do not worship. Go back first and be reconciled with your brother. That is the importance, and this is the first thing he starts to talk about. Fraternal charity. Why? Because as we know, the Decalogue, as I just described in the Catechism, tells us, what are the two great commandments? To love God and neighbor. There's the Decalogue, God and neighbor. And so our Lord is telling us, if you want to demonstrate your love for me, you have to show it in your love for your neighbor. So here is the first practical lesson that the Holy Ghost, through Holy Mother of the Church, is teaching us as we are on our road to heaven during this season. Using all the great gifts we've been given, the Holy Ghost is saying, the first thing you have to do is have love for God and show it by your love of neighbor. And this is a tall order. This is hard. I think it was St. Aloysius Gonzaga, that great saint, patron of youth. What was your hardest penance? And he said, the practice of charity in community. Because we all have, here's the saint talking about it, we all have, in dealings with people in the world, starting with our family and going out, we're always, St. Augustine talks about it too in talking about this today, we're like jars of clay in a wagon being pulled, and we're always being jostled and banged against each other. That's how he described St. Augustine. And he said, let's put some space between these clay jars. He's saying clay because that's what St. Paul told us. We're vessels of clay, easily broken. And so he takes that image. But he says, let's put more space between these vessels of clay in the wagon so we don't bang up against each other and injure each other. And he says, let's let that space between us be charity. So it's a tall order. And the epistle is from the Pope. And he quotes, that's St. Peter, he quotes extensively from Psalm 33. It's a beautiful psalm. And we've heard sermons in the past about how the psalm is telling us to renounce evil, so fight off temptation, and do good. We are on the defensive, and then we go on the offensive. The psalm is telling us that. And St. Peter quotes that, and he goes into detail about following what he, don't forget, St. Peter heard these words of this gospel. He heard this. First thing, what's he going to talk about? First thing, not only do not kill your neighbor, but don't even have angry thoughts against your neighbor. You will be sent to hell for that. We know that sin can be any thought, word, desire, action, or omission. So he's telling us, you can commit sins internally. After this, the next thing he talks about, he's talking about the fifth commandment here. Next thing he's going to talk about in this sermon is adultery. And in that one, just a preview, he says, you can commit sin just in your thoughts. If you look at someone with adulterous thoughts, you are guilty of it. So just to verify this lesson again. So how are we going to do this? And we all recognize it, but it's difficult. So St. Peter goes into detail, and he says we have to have this, we have to pray with the same mind, we have to be compassionate for one another, look out for one another. We have to be able to absorb contradiction. You have to be humble. He's told us about that already. And practically speaking, how do we do these things? First, I have to tell you, this is like the constant thing to remember. You've got to pray. You have to pray. It cannot be done without praying. You have to pray. Make use of sacramentals. Receive the sacraments often. We think of, I'm thinking of the brown scapular, thinking of your rosary. Those who are married, we've had a couple of weddings recently, the ring you wear is a sacramental. So all you have to do is, I don't know how much I can take. You know, there was a bishop that used to, you see the servers when they at high mass they wear the zucchetta. Well, the bishop wears that, and when he touches zucchetta, I'm asking God to help me to do what I have to do as a bishop, and whatever is getting to him. He would do that to invoke God's help, and he will give it. So this is the first thing. The second thing is this. Well, we can put the rest of these in any order we want. That's it right there. God will take care of it. But these are the type of things that God will give you when you have this prayer life, this deep spiritual life. He will give you insights, as I'll suggest here. One is, and this is always a good thing to remember, how much of a burden are we on everyone else? That's really a nice way for us to be very understanding of other people's problems and how they let us down. How often do we let people down? And we, you know the way it works. Oh, well, that wasn't a big thing. I just fill in the blank. We are so, you notice that? We are so quick to make excuses for ourselves. Well, I was really tired. I had a bad day at the office. You know, so that I'm excused for whatever I've done. But when somebody else does even the same exact thing, there's no excuse. They do that all the time. That's the way they are. Totally insensitive. So the first, not the first, but as God shows things to you, these are suggestions. Here's one. Just think how much we are a burden to somebody else. That often is a check. Even in the pagan world, it's so interesting how people recognize this balance, this seeming balance in things. I've heard people, you've heard it, you've probably thought of it yourself. These people could be complete pagans. Why are you being so nice to this person? Why are you giving this person advice in his business career, his job, whatever? Why are you doing these things? Well, it's kind of payback. Because when I got started, I had this old teacher or something, and he showed me what to do. And I can't repay him. He's long dead. So when I do this for this new young person, I am thinking of giving back something I received. That's just the law of balance, really. You've probably heard people speak that way. Same thing here, in a spiritual sense. And another thought, too. Because our Lord himself talks about, if you ask your Father in heaven for bread, is he going to give you a serpent? No. Anything that you're being given is from your Heavenly Father. So, when your neighbor offends you in any way, and may even persecute you, may even try to block you from serving God or whatever, feed your family, whatever. Sometimes that could be very serious things. So, of course, we have to try to feed our family despite opposition, okay? But if you come to the realization through prayer that anything that's happening to you, that individual, that enemy, or is it really just your brother not converted yet? That's what St. Augustine says. You look at your enemies as your future brother who just needs to be converted. But okay, you have to defend, you have to get your daily bread, whatever. But then you have a realization, that enemy of mine is only being allowed to do that to me because my Heavenly Father is letting him. As soon as that impression comes upon you, all animosity disappears. Because you realize God in heaven could not want anything bad to happen to me. There's some reason he's allowing this to happen. Someday I'll know what it is. But it softens the blow. It doesn't mean I roll over and don't earn my daily bread. I still do that. But it takes the sting out of everything. Because how can I be mad at God? So these are just a couple of things to help. Another, now just a practical consequence as St. Peter goes into detail here. And this is hard, but true. He says, when we're cursed and attacked, he said, don't respond that way. He said, respond with blessing. And this is one of the most common things, because how often do we go around killing somebody? Well, we don't mind killing their name and honor. We don't mind tearing them down in what we say or what we hear people saying. So these are these sins of speech that St. Peter is talking about that are very deadly evils against charity, fraternal charity. So we have to resist that. So there's a lot of things that we said, but we don't have time to go into that. But just to mention it. So when we're hearing things and by the way, things can happen quickly to us. You know, a temptation can come on us very quickly. And of course, the temptation at that point is just that. It's an opportunity for merit. Because now is a moment that God, through the guardian angel, tells us, beware, this is a moment now. And that's the moment where we are going to gain merit or fall, perhaps by continuing to listen to something bad or continue to speak in a venomous way. Those are the moments of grace, just to give you that heads up. We have to conclude, and I want to conclude on talking about the collect very briefly, as it refers back to something at the beginning of the talk. The collect talks about how, again, charity, how we love God above all things, so that we will someday be able to see those unseen things, those invisible things in the heavenly kingdom. And I want to, because we always love, well, all of the practices of the priestly ministry, the Mass being the primary ones, but all the administration of the sacraments, and one, of course, most critical point of anyone's life is when we are dying, and to be called to the side of the dying person and to be able to give them the sacrament that is going. Oh, say your Hail Marys often, pray for us now and at the hour of our death, amen. Always asking the Blessed Mother, help me now and at that critical moment, because you want the Blessed Mother to win for each of us the grace of extreme unction. Receive this sacrament and we go straight to heaven. And on top of that, Holy Mother Church has the apostolic blessing, which gives even more assurance. And we just want to read, because it's always moving to administer the sacrament to someone, helping them to go to heaven. And reading this prayer, where the prayer before this apostolic blessing recounts to the person all of the things they've just received from extreme unction. And then it goes on to say, raise your heart to God by a lively faith in the merits of your Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for your salvation. This is the priest's ritual. This is what he uses when he's doing this. Offer yourself to him without reserve, to love him for all eternity. Beg of him by an act of sincere contrition to pardon all your sins. Accept death as a punishment due to your offenses and trust in his divine mercy, that he will now release you from all your sins and at the hour of your death will grant you eternal rest. And here's the thought that reminds of the collect. It's these unseen things that we have in store for us. This will be your happiness if you turn your heart from the things of this world and long to be with Christ. Look upon this earth as a land of exile. Repeat the names of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Let your thoughts and your sighs be directed to that heavenly country for which you have been created, where death shall be no more, where you will live forever in that happiness which eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man hath ever conceived. Those words cannot be said without feeling. They cannot be heard without feeling and longing for what is in store. So pray at this Mass that we practice the fraternal charity that our Lord wants us to do, so we will all be together one day in heaven. May God bless you.